be honest, these rodents, right? These rats just have a tendency to get these weird ass cancers. And so I have not seen any case studies or reports of any actual humans developing any thyroid cancers. But I do know that some people say that if you have a, you know, pretty significant history of a thyroid cancer, you don't qualify for these medications. But at the end of the day, what we have to realize is that we already make these hormones. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Hormones Happen podcast. This is a podcast for men and women like you who know the care we receive is dictated by greedy pharmaceutical and unethical insurance companies that want to keep us sick and dependent on the system. Screw that. I'm here to educate you on the amazing benefits of hormone replacement therapy while dispelling the bullshit lies created by the fake news in the media. I'm your host, Jeremiah, and I'm a nurse practitioner who owns and operates an HRT clinic. I've seen firsthand the neglect and lies told to men and women like yourself to prevent them from taking control of their health. Together, we can create a better future for people like us. Join me in the fight for your hormones. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Hormones Happen. I have a real treat for you today. As I've asked, my inbox is busting at the seams with questions from you guys. Lots of great questions. And today, I actually have a special guest on the podcast, my very own admin assistant, Megan. I'm going to have her go ahead and just introduce herself, and then we'll get right into it.
Hi, guys. Megan here. You've probably spoken with me on the phone if you've called. A few times I will reach out and text back if you've texted, sometimes email as well. I'm definitely happy to be here. And if you guys have any other questions after the show, please feel free to hit up any of our social medias and ask them in any of the comments.
All right, guys, before we start, I do need to preface that none of this is medical advice. We're just reading these directly from the inbox, so there may be some grammar errors, things may be said kind of messed up. It is what it is. Chances are, if these guys are thinking it, so have you. So without further ado, let's get into it.
So Jacob, coming in from New Hampshire, says, "Hey guys, love the show. I've been on TRT like 0.3 twice a week for 3 months now. And my doc says my test is quote unquote normal now at 550. But honestly, I still feel like trash, tired, no sex drive, and can't sleep for nothing. Is this normal, or should I be looking for a new provider?"
That's a great question, Jacob. Now, while your provider's not wrong in the fact that your testosterone level is quote unquote normal, there's nothing normal about your symptoms. Now, I don't know how old you are, Jacob, but what I can tell you is 0.3 milliliters twice a week is still a pretty low dose. Typically, men will start feeling resolution of their symptoms at about 0.5. milliliters or 50 units twice a week. That's going to be a standard TRT dose of 200 milligrams per week. Now, that's not everyone though, right, guys? We have to think of certain things like the genetics, such as the CAG repeat size on the androgen receptor, the androgen density, the sensitivities, the metabolism, the injection methods. There are so many variables to how you are affected by your medication. But Jacob, my advice for you before you start looking for other providers is have an honest discussion with your provider and let them know how debilitating these symptoms are for you and see if they would be willing to increase the dosage. If they're unwilling to, then yeah, you need to advocate for yourself and find a provider that will work with you to help get you optimized.
Testosterone isn't just a guy thing. Women need it too. The problem? No one's been paying attention until now. At Still City HRT and Weight Loss, we prioritize you with personalized treatments designed to restore balance and help you feel your best. If you're ready to start taking back control, call or text 719-669-4223 now. Claire in New Mexico. "I'm 35 and had a hysterectomy when I was 28. My doc gave me a low estradiol patch for sleep, anxiety, and low libido, but won't give me progesterone because I ain't got a uterus. but I heard you talk about it, and now I'm thinking maybe I need it. Could testosterone help too?
Thanks for reaching out, Claire. Now, you had a hysterectomy. I'm assuming they left the ovaries. But even despite that, what I have seen time and time again is that when an organ's removed from our body's confused. You went 28 years with that uterus and now it's gone. Your body's kind of freaking out in a way. So while, you know, your provider's correct in that you do not medically need the progesterone to prevent uterine lining thickening from estradiol, you're missing out on all the mental benefits of progesterone. Especially if you're having difficulty sleeping, you're having insomnia, frequent headaches, the progesterone, when taken orally, a micronized oral bioidentical progesterone gets broken down by the liver into allopregnanolone, which is known colloquially as the Valium of the brain. It upregulates GABA receptors in the brain and it gives you this feeling good feel, like a almost like a Valium, right? Or an Ativan or something. But the reality is while the estradiol is going to have some degree of effect, it's only so much. And as far as testosterone, every woman, unless you have like PCOS or some increased androgen situation going on already, could benefit from testosterone. Because believe it or not, it's the most abundant hormone in your bodies, ladies, about 10 times greater than that of estrogen, okay? Just to a lesser extent than in men. But I think any woman, hysterectomy or not, would benefit from estradiol, progesterone, and testosterone.
Kyle in Colorado. Yo, what's the diff between androgel and test cream? Or is it the same thing, just different name?
Kyle, local native to Colorado like myself. That's awesome. Well, the difference between androgel and testosterone cream is that androgel is an alcohol-based gel, as the name implies. And it typically comes in like a 1% or like 1.62% concentration. They're pretty weak. The creams, on the other hand, are water-based creams and come in a variety of different what we call bases. So when you have a cream, you're putting a powder, basically a solid medication, into a base or a cream. There's creams like Allage, Versapro, Atrevis. There's several different ones. And with the creams, you're able to concentrate them to higher doses, right? You can be very specific with the concentrations. You can get 20%, you know, 10%, 1%. Some pharmacies will go as high as 22, 25%. But there is the reality that you can only put so much of a solid into the actual cream or a liquid before it just starts dissipating out. So I'd say 20% is about the strongest. You can keep a cream stable and use it appropriately. But the difference is, the application of the two, you don't want to put an androgel on the scrotum, which is the best place to put this stuff. A cream, you definitely want to put on a scrotum, best place to put it, can increase your points by 400, up to 400 points difference based off where you put it. And then the strength, androgel is very underpowered, whereas the creams are strong. So that's about it, man.
Another one from Colorado, Jim. What's HCG for if you're already on TRT? Can you just take HCG alone to boost test?
That's a great question, Jim. I get this all the time. I actually think I just did a podcast on it. HCG is human chorionic gonadotropin. And basically, as men, we make very, very small amounts of it. It's produced predominantly in the placenta in a female. And when we use it, when us guys use it, it acts as luteinizing hormone, which is a stimulatory hormone that actually activates Leydig cells in the testes to then produce testosterone. And so using it while you're on TRT, the purpose of it is to help promote increased fertility. Because when you're on exogenous forms of testosterone, whether that be pills, creams, or injections, your natural production, aka endogenous production, is turned off. And what that results in is a shutdown of your intratesticular testosterone, which is typically 10 plus times higher than what's in our blood. And when that intratesticular testosterone is decreased, it affects sperm quality. So this is how high levels of testosterone exogenously decrease your fertility. Now, HCG, remember, is stimulating those Leydig cells to make natural, quote unquote, natural production of your testosterone. So it's increasing your intratesticular testosterone, improving sperm quality, improving fertility. But, okay, this is something that I always thought. I always use it for fertility, but there's so much research and anecdotal evidence that HCG helps with just general wellness. I have guys who come to me who just want to be on it with their TRT because they feel so much better. It's not just for fertility. You can use this as an adjunct to essentially augment your TRT by getting exogenous testosterone production through your needle or whatever. And then you're also stimulating your endogenous production. Now, using it as monotherapy for some individuals could be good. But what you have to consider is, what's the cause of your low testosterone? We categorize this into primary and secondary. Primary hypogonadism means that the issue is with the testes. And secondary means the issues at either the level of the brain, the hypothalamus, or the anterior pituitary gland. If the issue is at the level of the testes, you can throw as much LH at it as you want. They're just not going to respond. And if that's your case, you're wasting your money, because remember, all HCG does is acts like LH. It's called an LH mimetic. If your testes aren't responding to the LH, you're wasting money. So for some guys, yeah, HCG can work as monotherapy, but it really depends on why you have the low testosterone. At the end of the day, I'm a huge proponent for just going to testosterone. Just don't waste your money on overly expensive, you know, stepwise fashions to get there. TRT is typically the solution.
Enjoying the podcast? There's plenty more where that came from. Head over to stillcity-trt.com for expert insights, tips, and everything you need to know about HRT and TRT. Now let's dive back in. Frankie G in Arizona. Y'all always say you're not a number, but then why we gotta get labbed before even starting TRT? Feels kind of contradicting, LOL.
Frankie G, I love the name. You're right, man. You know, you're not a number. You're a person. You're a human. You're Frankie G at the end of the day. And what I mean by this when I say this is that there is no number that is going to tell us that you're okay. If you come into my clinic and let's get your testosterone, and let's say your testosterone's 600, but you're not sleeping, your libido's gone, you're tired during the day, does me telling you your testosterone is normal make you feel better? Does it take your symptoms away? No, not at all. But why do we get labs, right? That's a great question. Well, we get a lot more than just testosterone, right? We're checking your liver, your kidneys. We're checking your complete blood cell profile, right? White blood cells, red blood cells, platelets. I check your thyroid. I check your PSA to check for prostate cancer. I check a lot of things, the stimulatory hormones. It gives me a global picture of why is your testosterone low? You know, why do you feel the way you do? But most importantly, we use it for trending purposes. Because in 6 weeks, when we recheck, when you've been on testosterone, it lets me know how responsive are your androgen receptors to therapy. Because it varies wildly. Some guys will have very minimal increases, which tells me chances are genetically they're going to require higher doses to alleviate their symptoms. Where some guys just look at the vial and their testosterone levels spike. They're blessed, but everyone's different, and the labs give me a way to trend and identify how you respond to it. But more importantly, because I'll be honest with you, Frankie G, I don't care about your testosterone level. I care about your symptoms, but I really care about your other health markers, liver, kidneys, you know, your prostate. Those are the things I really care about, and those are the things I really put a lot of attention into. Your testosterone level, I don't know where it's going to be when you feel good. Some guys feel great at 600. Some guys don't feel great till they're above 1500. We're all different. But that's a great question, Frankie G. I hope that cleared it up.
Bobby from Texas. What's good, fellas? Been thinking about adding semaglutide while I'm on TRT. Is that safe? I heard it helps cut fat, but I don't want to mess up my hormones.
All right, Bobby G. Just kidding, Bobby. Semaglutide, believe it or not, man, is a hormone. It's what we call a GLP-1. It's a hormone that's made in the intestines, but it's also made in the brain. But this is such a common question. I get this all the time, man. It's not going to affect your testosterone. It's not going to affect your hormones. Now, I know I've talked ad nauseum about how these endocrine disruptors, like the BPAs in plastic, preservatives in the food, the fluorides in the water, negatively affect our hormones. And I really hone in on testosterone, progesterone, estrogen, all that stuff. But let's be real, man. All these other hormones too, like our GLP-1s, get affected too, right? And there's actually a hypothesis that people are being born with GLP-1 deficiencies. Like, could you imagine that, being born with a known outcome of, you know, insulin resistance, metabolic disease? It's unfair, but, you know, the reality is a lot of people are on semaglutide or tirzepatide with their TRT. I'm on tirzepatide. I've been on semaglutide. I feel great. I feel like they do have somewhat of a good synergistic effect, because what will happen with some people is if you don't make lifestyle modifications while you're on medications like semaglutide or tirzepatide, and you just go days without eating, you're going to lose muscle mass. Okay. So testosterone helps to preserve muscle mass. And at the end of the day, when you're on these weight loss medications, which are amazing, you need to work out. Weight bearing activity is so important. Protein consumption and hydration are so important. If you're not doing those, don't take these medications, because you're going to hurt yourself. But for you specifically, Bobby, the TRT plus the semaglutide is probably a great combination, especially if you're looking at just trying to cut some weight while you're building some muscle.
Kendra from Florida. Hey, so I'm on HRT for menopause and just started tirzepatide for weight. Do they mess with each other? I've been feeling weird since I added the shots.
Kendra, thanks for reaching out. Sorry that you're not feeling so good. Now, just like I had just told Bobby, you know, semaglutide and tirzepatide are very similar. Semaglutide is a GLP-1, whereas tirzepatide is a GLP-1 with another hormone called the GIP. Tirzepatide has been shown in head-to-head studies to result in more significant weight loss, but specifically fat loss, because the GIP component targets brown adipose tissue, which is just fat cells. Now, there's a lot of information that I would really need to know before I make any kind of recommendations, because I don't believe you'd told me doses of any of the medications, specifically what you're on in regards to HRT, but also what symptoms, how are you feeling weird? You know, the reality is these medications work very synergistically together, and chances are it's not that you're having any kind of interactions between the HRT and the tirzepatide, but you may need a dose adjustment of any four of those medications, assuming you're on estradiol, testosterone, and progesterone in addition to tirzepatide. Oftentimes, progesterone is one of the most, has the most profound effects on how immediate it works. Some women have a really difficult time tolerating higher doses of progesterone, so we need to decrease it. Otherwise, they feel kind of drunk, or they feel, you know, just too sedated. And if that's what you're feeling, chances are the progesterone may need to be adjusted versus, you know, the tirzepatide being an issue.
Ty in California. I'm 38, low T, and just started TRT. My doc offered semaglutide too, but I don't really get how they go together. Is that overkill or nah?
Great question, Ty. I do see this often, that when you go to a clinic, they'll try to get you on multiple medications at the same time and call it something of like a bundle or a package. And, you know, when the reality is, sure, you know, you would probably be just fine on, you know, semaglutide for insulin resistance, metabolic health. Unless you're really wanting to, you know, kind of curb food cravings, I think it's a waste of money. I think try the TRT first, see how you feel, because oftentimes the TRT does a great job at curbing the appetite, giving you the motivation. So I rarely recommend getting on multiple of these medications at the same time. I'm a huge believer in start with one thing, see how it works for you. If it's not giving you the desired result, like let's say you get on TRT, but you're going to the gym, you're doing all the right things, you're eating healthier, but you're still having those cravings and too many cheat meals. Yeah, sure, semaglutide would be a very powerful tool for you. But, I mean, some guys take the TRT and it changes their whole life, just the TRT. So, you know, before you overcomplicate things and just put too many medications in the pot, I say start with one, optimize it, then move on to the next one, optimize it. So, while it wouldn't hurt you, I do think it's probably just a way of them trying to pad the bill. I don't think right off the bat anyone needs that combination. You can do it, but it's probably going to be pretty expensive and unnecessary.
Let's get one thing straight. The big pharmaceutical companies don't give a damn about you feeling like yourself again. They'd rather keep you popping pills, masking symptoms, and stuck in their cycle of dependence. But you, you're smarter than that. Hormone replacement therapy is about fixing the root cause, not slapping a bandage on it. More energy, sharper focus, fat burning on autopilot, and a sex drive that actually matches your ambition. Yeah, it's all possible when your hormones are optimized. At Still City HRT and Weight Loss, we don't play by Big Pharma's rules. We tailor HRT to your body, your needs, and your goals, so you can break free from fatigue, brain fog, and the BS they told you was just aging. You in? Then stop waiting for permission to take control. Call 719-669-4223 or hit up stillcity-trt.com now. Your body, your life, your terms.
Annie from New York. How long do you gotta be on tirzepatide to see real results? I'm trying to lose weight, but don't want to be stuck on this stuff forever.
Hey, Manny. So how long it takes to see results really depends on what your goal is. If your goal is to eliminate, you know, some food hunger, to lose, you know, 5-10 pounds, or, you know, if you're getting ready to go to a wedding or a vacation or something, it really just depends, right? I mean, theoretically, we don't really have any specifically long-term data on how long you can be on these medications, right? It just doesn't exist. But what I can tell you is that the way that these medications work is tirzepatide, it's a peptide hormone, which just means it's a short-chain amino acid. Your body already makes the hormones that are in it. And theoretically, you know, it seems logical that you could be on it forever, right? To help with insulin resistance, metabolic disease. It really just depends on your lifestyle, right? Some people use it as just a little bit of a tool to help them get from point A to point B, and then they get off of it and they're able to maintain that great lifestyle they developed and they're fine. Some people just like it for longevity purposes. I personally will probably be on it for as long as I can until the FDA comes and pulls it from my hands. I'm just kidding. I'm being very dramatic with that. But it really just comes down to you, man. It comes to your goals. You could theoretically probably be on it for a very long time. It just, you know, it's very individualized.
Erica in Michigan. I heard tirzepatide can mess with your thyroid or hormones. Is that true if you're already on HRT? Kind of worried now.
Hey, Erica. I've been asked this question quite a few times. Now, I know when GLP-1s were being developed, they had done tons of research in rodents and rats, and they had seen the development of these medullary thyroid cancers. But to be honest, these rodents, right, these rats just have a tendency to get these weird ass cancers. And so I have not seen any case studies or reports of any actual humans developing any thyroid cancers. But I do know that some people say that if you have a, you know, pretty significant history of a thyroid cancer, you don't qualify for these medications. But at the end of the day, what we have to realize is that we already make these hormones. So if these hormones were going to cause us harm, they probably would have already done it. So as far as tirzepatide affecting your thyroid hormones, the only thing I can see, because I haven't done extensive research into the correlation of the two, there's probably more than what I'm aware of, but I would only see positive benefit, because as you decrease your insulin resistance, you lose all these extra adipose tissue, this fat tissue, your body's going to start signaling and sensing hormones much more efficiently. I only see that as a positive for your thyroid being more potent. Now, as far as the HRT, HRT can affect your thyroid as well. You know, I've talked about this before. Testosterone can actually increase the conversion of T4 to T3, which is one of the active version of your thyroid hormone. It also sensitizes thyroid receptors, making them more sensitive to thyroid stimulation. On the other end of the spectrum, okay, estradiol, when taken orally, actually increases what's called thyroxine-binding globulin. So it's a protein that binds to basically your thyroid hormone and essentially makes it inactive. And so some women who are taking, you know, oral estradiol need adjustments, increases in their thyroid hormones if they have hypothyroidism. Oftentimes with TRT, I see an improvement in thyroid function. So if you have a low-level hypothyroidism, the testosterone can, to a, to a degree, correct it. But as far as tirzepatide, I don't know of any specific correlations between the two. All right, guys, we are running out of time. I respect your time, and I try to keep these podcasts to less than 20 minutes, so I'm going to end it there. But if you have questions just like these or your own questions, send them to hormoneshappen@stillcity-trt.com, and I will eventually get to them. Before we leave, I just want to have Megan say a couple words.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope I get invited back soon.
I want to thank everyone for listening to today's episode of the Hormones Happen podcast and hope that you were able to find some value in the information that was provided today. If you have any questions that you would like to have discussed on the podcast, please send them to the email listed below or message us on the Still City HRT and Weight Loss Facebook page. Remember, you are not alone in the war on hormones. Stay optimized.